This is 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and welcome to another edition of Creative Impact. It is our weekly series produced in partnership with the Arts Alliance, and the president and CEO of that organization is Deb Pollock. She serves as my co-host for Creative Impact, and welcome back for another good week.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. David, you know, yes. You should look up.
Why is that? You going to tickle me or something?
No. Looking up is something that our guest, Matthew Linke, the U of M Natural History Museum Planetarium Manager, would probably give you.
Matthew, thank you so much for joining us today and being a part of Creative Impact on WEMU. We do appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so I invited Matthew to be our guest for a number of reasons. He's been the Planetarium Manager for a long time. I think he's a great guest right now because when the new museum was being designed, he had the opportunity to start with essentially a blank slate, or really a blank sky, to develop the whole new program.
Matthew, that is fascinating. How do you even begin on a project like that? I mean, literally, you have a universe to choose from.
Pretty much. We got the memo about this project someplace around December of 11, I think it was, or very close to that. And that now seems so far away. I don't remember what I thought at that time. I probably thought, oh, here we go again. You know, this is going to happen, or no, it's not going to happen, or for various reasons, something will happen. And we went through a lot of change. We went through a lot of training just to understand how do people in a situation like this, how do they react? You know, not everybody likes to move. Not everybody likes a new building. I was in Ruthven for 28 years, and that was my little home. And now I know the building has been pretty much gutted as it's prepared for its new life. And I'm so happy it has a new life. That was a big issue for a while, what's going to happen to Ruthven. It was a really interesting process to go through. It's not something I'd done before. We had one staff member who's had anything like this happen before. And, you know, it wasn't always excitement and fun. It was always excitement, but there's a lot of stress and strain that goes with doing something the size of this project.
I'm sure that there were points along the way where you had to believe you were never going to get to the end.
Well, that's exactly true. I mean, and there were some interesting upsides, such as we were closed for most of a year and a half as we did this. And interestingly enough, the first thing that happened when all the kids came back was we all got sick.
all that work stress.
So, that wasn't planned.
So there you are. You have a whole new planetarium to design, and you have to take a lot of things into consideration: a new space, what the public is looking for, what your scientists are looking for. How do you put that whole thing together so that you hit your goals and your expectations?
Well, you ask a lot of questions. You listen a lot. You also take your own knowledge and your own background into account. We wanted years ago to start doing more non-astronomy content. We are fundamentally a planetarium. We will be that. But we knew the digital systems could handle many things. When we tried a few things over in Ruthven, it did not go well. Our audiences since 1956 or 58, depending which date you want to use, you know, they were used to coming to the planetarium for what most people would think of: night sky, bright stars, constellations. And all of a sudden we threw Darwin in there one time, a marvelous program, but that did not go well. We weren't ready for it yet.
People like tradition.
Well, very much. And so this is a very rare opportunity to have a situation where everything is new. No one knows quite to expect. So we have already been doing programs on underwater reefs. We've got some coming up that were written by teenagers. A lot of our programs will be very familiar to people, but there are new things and will continue to be new things.
You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair with my co-host Deb Pollock. Our guest is Matt Linke, Planetarium Manager at the University Natural History Museum. How has technology changed the business of a planetarium over the years, and what kind of state-of-the-art equipment does it take to run such a facility?
It's important to understand that these are choices that people make. There are certainly by far more what we call optomechanical machines. That's the big star ball in the middle of the room that we all think about so much. And I spent most of my 42-year career, with that technology. We began our transition to digital, as it's called, in 2007. And it does change things considerably. The media is different. The capabilities are different. The expectations are different. I had one gentleman bring his parents or his kids in. He said, oh, digital. And they left. they didn't want that.
Hmm.
So it's a mix of things, but really it has made possible so much more of a visualization, a visual universe. The programming can be whatever you want to be, because you have to remember that a digital system is essentially a visualization tool.
Can you buy these programs off the shelf, or do you have to create them all?
It's both. Because of the effort that goes into these, it's like movie making. You know, some of these programs, like the Black Holes program, I know from communications, was a $6 million production. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, when we had the partial eclipse a little over a year ago, we did some in-house production, because that gives you that flavor of the local environment, which is really important. But there are just too many things out there that are beyond the ability of a smaller organization that doesn't have those kind of production facilities or the budgets.
I was wondering how much personal interaction you have with your audience at times throughout the year. You can think of all the kids that have their birthday parties at the planetarium, but I would imagine, you know, this is one of those experiential items that we subject ourselves to with a particular outcome in mind. So are people reacting the way you thought they would when you made the redesign?
Yeah, for the most part, they are. And remember, we've been open since the 14th of April, and we have had literally thousands of people through here already. And even some of the programs like the Reef program, which I was most worried about as being non-astronomy, the wows and the gasps and the oohs and ahs of suddenly being underwater with all this life, I was wondering how that was going to go, and it went extremely well. Just even the basic astronomy, though, this technology can do so much better of a job of displaying it, of explaining it. We do mostly live programs. The Full Dome movies are an exception, although there's always a live piece with those. But people do respond. They have great questions. Some of them are much the same. Others are a little bit different. They always want to know, you know, what if, or what it's my birthday, or the sort of stuff we always have. But we do interact with them a lot, and that's been one of the biggest changes, is designing a room that now requires a microphone. It's just big enough now than we had before, that microphones are important, because we do have hearing-assisted technology, for example. My new students who are trained now to do these programs, you know, this is what they've learned. So it's kind of to them, oh, here I am, I'm doing this program. But I look back to my first program around 1978, and it's unbelievable how different it is.
So now the new planetarium is up and running, as you mentioned, since April. Where does it go from here?
I intend to push this a little further outside the non-astronomy range. I am working on a program right now. I don't know where we are in time on it, but it is about underwater shipwrecks in the Great Lakes, particularly the Thunder Bay Preserve up near Alpena, which is my hometown.
I would find that fascinating.
Well, we hope a lot of people will, because we turn the dome into a big Lucite submarine, and we take divers down to visit the wrecks. And this will be shared with other planetaria in the Great Lakes regions who have similar access to the lakes. So that's quite different for us, but yet the technology simply screams, you know, do this. This is something you can do with this, and it looks
that
great.
That sounds great. I had a chance to see the planetarium in one of the early openings, and I'll be bringing family back to it soon. So we'll look forward to the new updates, and thank you so much for sharing some of this with us on the show.
Yes, we most appreciate it.
I'm glad to have done this. Thank you for the time.
That is Matthew Linke, Planetarium Manager at the University Natural History Museum. And Deb Pollock, we'll see you back to the studios again next week.
Absolutely, David. And remember, look up.
Don't tickle. Deb is President and CEO of the Arts Alliance, which serves as our content partner for Creative Impact. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.